All right. Well, we are continuing our series on Ecclesiastes this morning. And I'm kind of going to change it up a little bit here because as I was studying for this week, I realized, wow, I'm going to start sounding like a broken record if every week I bring up something and then just say, and without God, this is meaningless. Which I'll get to that eventually, but that's not how I'm going to start it off. Wisdom. Let's talk about wisdom. Wisdom, it's kind of an interesting thing because it's more than an education, right? Like you can get an education. You can be book smart, but not actually wise. I'm an excellent example of that, okay? I read lots of books. I do lots of research, but I don't always do wise things. One perfect example is a while ago, I took an online IQ test. And, you know, I'm like, so one of my buddies had taken this test, and I was like, oh, yeah, I'll take this online IQ test. You know, I get to the end, and it's like, you know, pay a few dollars, and then we'll give you your results for this test. I'm kind of like, sure. My buddy did it, so I guess I could do it. So I go ahead, and I pay for the IQ test. It comes back, and it's like, you're a genius. And, you know, I scored like 131 on the IQ test. And like, man, my friend only got like a 108. And I got a 131. That's pretty good. But then I'm like, I write him, I'm like, is this thing for real? He says, I don't know. I took the test. I never actually paid for it. I just, they just sent me my results after like a few days. And I was like, oh, shoot. So I go and do a little more research. And I'm like, okay, wait a second. Is this thing for real? And I'm looking around, and then I Google the website, you know, is such and such a scam? Such and such website, complete scam. I was like, ah! So, you know, you go from feeling like, man, I'm a genius, to, man, I'm an idiot. I paid for a test that's a complete scam. What, are you kidding me? So day by day, I'm learning, you know, whereas, you know, but then you've got other people who are not very educated. You know, some of us had grandparents or other folks who they didn't get like a college education or anything, but they are so wise. I mean, you talk to them and they've got just a word of wisdom for every situation. Some people get old and don't get wise, but some people, as they age, I mean, they get wiser and wiser and wiser. It's crazy. You can go to them, you can ask their advice on all sorts of things, and they're just kind of like, I don't think you should do that. And they'll give you a good reason for everything. And sometimes we Christians, I know growing up in a Christian family, we can get caught up in this thing of, is it sinful or is it not sinful? And that's like our go-to question. Is it sinful or is it not sinful? Well, if it's not sinful, it must be okay. When I was working with a youth group back in Utica, New York, and kids would come to me all the time and they'd be asking me advice. They'd be like, hey, there's this guy, you know, so-and-so, should I date him? Would it be a sin to date him? I'm like, no, it wouldn't be a sin to date him, but it'd be stupid. Because this guy is not the brightest. I mean, he's just, you know, he's not a great guy. He's really not. You know, should I do this? Would this be, you know, a sin to take this job? No, it wouldn't be a sin to take that job, but it's really not a great job. You could do better than that. Should I not go to school? Would it be a sin not to go to college? No, it's not a sin not to go to college. Sometimes it works out really great if you do. Sometimes you pay a lot of money and get nothing for it. But sometimes we get caught up in only asking, is it a sin? Is it wrong? Should I do this or should I not do this? In my family, the Rasmussen family, we have a hard time making decisions sometimes. Because if you ever, Bethany's laughing, if you're ever with like a big group of my family, like at a family reunion or something, we have a hard time making a decision because we're kind of hung up on seeking God's will for everything. Okay? And like, you know, should we spend our afternoon this way or should we spend our afternoon this way? Well, God has a perfect will for it, so we have to figure out what that is. I'm using a little bit of hyperbole here, but we have to figure out what exactly that is before we can make a decision and do something. I mean, we'll have like hour-long debates about what we should do, And then before you know it, it's dinner time. We're like, well, I guess we won't do anything. It was God's will that we debated all afternoon. So sometimes we don't need, we don't have to figure out whether something's right or wrong. We have to figure out whether it's smart or dumb, whether it's wise or unwise. And wisdom comes from so many sources, actually. You know, a lot of people will get hung up and they'll say, you know, don't listen to any wisdom that's not found in the Bible, which I agree with, I agree with to an extent, but don't put a fork in the microwave is not found in the Bible. But it's wise, right? Isn't that true? Don't put a fork in the microwave is not found in the Bible, but it's a word of wisdom, okay? And there are lots of sources of wisdom. I mean, I think of some African proverbs that are just so wise. And they're not found in the Bible, but it's like, wow, that's really a good insight. You know, one is wealth. If you have wealth and you spend it, it runs out. If you have education and you use it, it increases. If you have wisdom and you use it, it increases. Okay, so as you use your wisdom, it grows and it grows. As you use your education, it grows and it grows. Whereas if you have wealth and you spend it, it's gone the next day. Another one that I really like is, the man who marries the woman he loves is happy. The man who loves the woman he marries is happier. It's a good one, all right? Another one, it's an Ethiopian proverb. I actually saw this one just a few days ago. It was really funny. Love, like coffee, is always better hot. So, there's lots of good African proverbs. You know, footpaths turn into valleys, which is saying, you know, if you start going in a direction and you keep walking on that same path, eventually it's going to turn into a valley. We have a similar one, you know, sow a thought, reap a deed, sow a deed, reap a habit, sow a habit, reap a destiny. These are all kind of proverbs that are just come off the top of people's heads, and they're like, oh, that's a good proverb. In Ecclesiastes, see that catch? In Colossians 4:5, let's start there, actually. Colossians 4, verse 5 says this, walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of time. So we as Christians, we're called to walk in wisdom, okay? Now, like I said, we don't necessarily have the corner on the market for wisdom. Okay, there is a wisdom of this world, which is actually foolishness. And when Paul is talking about that in 1 Corinthians, he's talking about man's attempt to get right with God on his own. So when man attempts to get right with God out of his own works, that's foolishness. The wisdom of God is Christ revealed. Okay, so we have to start there. In fact, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7, okay, what does it say? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Okay? The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So that has to be your starting point. Anytime you're talking about wisdom, that needs to be your starting point. Does it align with fearing God? All right? Does it align with fearing God? It kind of acts as a filter. Okay? I'll give you an example of a piece of wisdom that does not align with fearing God, but that a lot of people buy into. In fact, a recent survey found that 68% of Christians thought that the proverb, God helps those who help themselves, is found in the Bible. 68% of Christians thought that you could find God helps those who help themselves in the Bible, which actually is quite contrary to the gospel. Because the gospel says the complete opposite. The gospel says God helped those who couldn't help themselves. But somewhere along the way, some well-meaning guy said, got tired of someone asking him for help all the time and said, hey, God helps those who help themselves. All right? If you want help, help yourself. Get to work. Do something. And, you know, and maybe his intention was good. I mean, God doesn't want us to just sit around and do nothing. But it actually leads back to the wisdom of this world, which says if you work hard enough, if you do good enough, then God will pay attention to you and he'll help you out. Which goes back to the teachings of the Pharisees. the teachings of the religious leaders in Jesus' time. If you do enough good, God will help you out. If you do enough good, then on that last day, God will pay attention to you. So it's something that kind of sneaks in. So we have to be cautious of wisdom. Okay, we have to be cautious of what's actually wisdom and what's actually foolishness. Ecclesiastes, I love Ecclesiastes 10:10 and 11. Hang on, let me find it here. Ecclesiastes 10:10 says this: if the iron is blunt and one does not sharpen the edge, he must use more strength. But wisdom helps one succeed. Alright, so there's a piece of wisdom for you. If you're working with an axe and it's blunt, you're going to have to work harder to get it to chop down that tree. Okay? You're going to have to expend more energy to chop down that tree than you would if you just take a time out, sharpen your axe, and go back to cutting down the tree. So what is wisdom? Wisdom is basically knowing how the universe works. Okay? Wisdom is knowing how the world works and then working in accordance with that. If you look at the Proverbs and stuff, wisdom is knowing, hey, if I'm trying to chop down a tree and I have a dull axe, it's going to take a lot more work. So it's using your head and saying, hey, I should go sharpen my axe first and then I'll chop down this tree in just a few swipes. Or if you're Derek, it could just be one. 10:11 is also pretty funny. If the serpent bites before it is charmed, there is no advantage to the charmer. Kind of a... Yeah, that's true. But all of this is just wisdom. It's saying, hey, this is the way the world works. Work in accordance with this. But going back to the thing of the beginning of wisdom is the fear of God, that means that not everything that is expedient is wise. Not everything that works is wise, because you also have to look at the character of God. Now, I might be able to make a better living if I pay someone a terrible wage. I might be able to succeed better if all of my employees are making nothing, or if I'm putting somebody in a sweatshop to work terrible hours, but that's going against God's principle of human dignity. So I might be able to benefit from that. It might appear wise in the world's eyes, but when you go back and look at God and what God says, it says, no, that's not wisdom, that's cruelty. It might be expedient, but not everything that is expedient is right. Also, sometimes we have to live with this tension of what we see and what God says. So we always have to go back to what God says first. Primarily, what does God say about this? Does God say for me to trust Him in this situation? Remember, back in our last series, we talked about when the king of Assyria came to invade Israel. And his spokesperson comes out and says, who are you trusting in? Look at this army. There's like 800,000 of us. And you're a little city. You can't even... If I gave you 1,000 horses, you couldn't even put men on all of them. Okay? You don't even have enough men to put cavalry... Like, to use the horses that I could give you. And the king says, no, we're going to trust in God. Even though the world around us looks terrible, we're going to trust in God. That's still wisdom. Okay? Because we know the deeper truth. Okay? We understand a deeper truth about the world. And that is that God is working behind the scenes doing things that we can't see all the time. But wisdom. Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 2 says this. Jumps over it. Ecclesiastes chapter 2 verse 12. So I turned to consider wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do who comes after the king? Only what has already been done. So Solomon says, I am the wisest man who's ever lived, so I'm going to consider wisdom. I'm going to take a look at wisdom. And he says, no matter who comes after me, they're not going to be able to consider this any better than I do, because I'm the wisest man. Then I saw that there is more gain in wisdom than in folly. as there is more gain in light than in darkness. The wise person has his eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. All right, what's he saying here? Pretty straightforward, actually. It's like the man who has wisdom is walking around in a room that is well lit. The man who lacks wisdom is walking around in a room that is full of darkness. So he basically defines wisdom as walking with your eyes open. All right. Have you ever met somebody who just made one poor decision after another decision after another decision after another decision, and you kind of are just like, man, wake up. Uncle Phil is an excellent example of this. All right. But he raised his hand. Okay, All right. So he brought it on himself. Poor decision. But you know, like, you just look at this person, and you're like, man, how are you? We'll use it relationships as an example, okay? You got this person who just is in a relationship with the wrong person, the wrong person, the wrong person, the wrong person, okay? It's sad, actually, but you have people who get into an abusive relationship, they get out of the abusive relationship, they get into another abusive relationship, they get out of that one, and they just keep going back. That person, Solomon would say, is walking around with their eyes closed, okay? Things are happening to them, but they're not paying attention. The world is changing around them, but they don't see how it's working. There's this one pastor who he does this illustration. It's so funny. He's a youth pastor, and he talks about consequences, okay, learning consequences. So what he does is he takes somebody up from the crowd, usually like the most muscular guy in the crowd, and he says, okay, here's a ball. Throw this ball as hard as you can into that wall. And the kid does it. He throws it as hard as he can into the wall. What happens? The ball bounces back and hits him. And the guy, and it's always like, man, why did you tell me to do that? Dude, come on, you just threw the ball into the wall. What do you think is going to happen? It's going to bounce back, right? Well, walking without wisdom is like just throwing the ball into the wall, it bounces and it hits you. Man, this ball never goes away. Comes back and it hits you. Ah, this ball keeps coming back. Comes back and it hits you. And Solomon says, walking in wisdom is like walking with your eyes open as opposed to your eyes shut. Open your eyes. Pay attention. When something falls apart, evaluate. What happened here? What happened here? Why did this relationship fall apart? Why did my finances fall apart? Okay, take a step back. Look around, you know. Be smart about it. Make a wise decision. It's common sense, but, you know, as they say, common sense ain't so common anymore. Step back. Make a wise decision. What's going on? Open your eyes. Now, there's one more thing, though. A lot of people think that wisdom is kind of what defines Christianity. Okay? Wisdom, like being a Christian, is living a wise life, making wise choices, which is a huge part of it. It's an important part of it. But Solomon, again, told you this was coming. Solomon again says, verse 14, the wise person has his eyes in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. And yet I perceive that the same event happens to them all. So Solomon says, well, ultimately, wisdom can't save you. Which actually, if you look at the world around us, a lot of people are relying on education, wisdom, whatever they can, to save them. Yes, it can give you a better life. It can make your life better. You'll walk in, as Solomon said, you'll walk in light as opposed to walking in darkness. And walking in darkness is no fun. Just ask your toes, okay? Walking in darkness can be pretty awful. But Solomon says, but ultimately, even wisdom, which Ecclesiastes is, it's in the genre of wisdom literature, okay? So it looks at life. This is Psalms, Ecclesiastes, Proverbs, Song of Solomon, these are, and Job are all part of what's called wisdom literature. So looking at life and asking, how can we live wisely in light of how God has created the world? God has created gravity, so it is unwise to jump off of a cliff. Okay? God has created seasons, so it's a good idea to plant during the right season. God has created, you know, all of these different structures. He set them in order. Even society. God has created your fellow human beings. It's a good idea to be honest, to treat them with respect, so that your relationship with them can actually work. It doesn't break down and everything falls apart. God has created all of these things. How can we walk in wisdom? How can we be smart about how we live in this world? But Solomon says, ultimately, even that falls short. Which is why the wisdom of this world falls short. Because if you're not looking to God to somehow save you, to somehow break you out of this, you can be saying, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get my act together. I'm going to live right. You'll fail. Right? You'll fail. Here's a cheery part. Then I said in my heart, what happens to the fool will happen to me also. Why then have I been so very wise? And I said in my heart, this also is vanity. For of the wise as of the fool there is no enduring remembrance, seeing that in the days to come all will have been long forgotten. How the wise dies just like a fool. So I hated life, because what is done under the sun was grievous to me, for all is vanity and a striving after the wind. So even all of Solomon's wisdom couldn't save him. And yet the foolishness of God is wiser than the wiseness of man. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. I'll start in verse 18. For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. Well, so what's he saying? He's saying all of man's attempts to find God ultimately fail. Why? Because man is always depending on himself to make himself right with God. What must I do to be saved? That's the question that everyone asks, and usually it's answered by, do this. What must I do to be saved? And Jesus said, the command of God is this, believe on him whom the Father sent. This is the command of God. This is God's command. You know, when all the people came to him and said, you know, what do we have to do to inherit this eternal life? Believe in him whom the Father sent. That's foolishness. That is utterly foolish. I mean, you talk to 99% of people, okay? And they say, you ask them, what do you have to do to get into heaven? Well, you just got to be a good person. That's what people think, right? You have to be good enough to get in. And, you know, we were talking about this in our Bible study the other night. Where's the cutoff? Okay? Is it 80%? You know, you have to be 80% good. Well, what about the person who gets 79.999%? Tough luck. All right? Or, well, okay, let's lower it to 79%. What about the person who gets 78%? Good. So, actually believing on Jesus Christ as your Lord actually opens the door. You know, it's limiting, it's restricting, but it opens the door to everybody. It makes it so that everybody actually can get in. Whereas if it's everybody has to be good enough to get in, it closes the door, actually. You think it opens it to everybody, but it actually closes it. Because you have to say, at what point now does God cut it off and say, okay, this person is good and this person is bad? That's a tough one. Whereas if you say the requirement is believe on Jesus Christ, it opens the door to everybody. It doesn't matter if you were a serial killer. It doesn't matter if you just stole cookies out of the cookie jar when you were a child. It doesn't matter if you were a dictator, a horrible person. It opens the door to everybody because of the grace of God. But it's foolishness to those who have never heard. For the Jews demand signs and the Greeks seek wisdom. This is verse 22. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Gentiles. The Jews, when Jesus was on earth, it's crazy. Over and over again, they ask him, show us a sign to prove that you're the Messiah. Show us a sign to prove that you're the Messiah. What was Jesus doing? I mean, pretty much the whole time he's on earth. Miracles, signs and wonders, okay? But their mind was so closed that they said, we need a sign. The sign. What are you asking for? He raises the dead, he heals the blind, and then when he heals the blind, they're like, all right, was this guy really blind, or does he just look like a blind guy? It's just, but their mind has been blinded because they're seeking it through their own human wisdom. Same thing with the Greeks. The Greeks just kind of lumped everything physical into one. To them, you know, Christ, God, dying, having a physical body and dying on a cross, that was foolishness. Are you kidding me? How could God, who is completely separate from matter, become matter and die? To them, that was like, oh, no, only evil actually has matter. The whole point of the Greek philosophy was free yourself from everything physical. Free yourself from all of this matter around you. Get free. And so, God's coming in a body, to them, that's foolishness. How could God come in a body? That's kind of crazy. And yet, it's the most beautiful, wonderful story that's ever been. And it's the wisdom of God. So, what am I trying to say here? Good question. God wants us to live wisely. All right? And the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. Fear, okay, in that passage, fear means not what we typically think of, like you feared your mother when you saw the fire start coming out of her eyes and the smoke rising from her ears. That was like fear, okay? Fear in the Old Testament actually means this overwhelming sense of wonder and otherness, okay? So it's a sense of God is wholly different from me. God is totally above and beyond me. And this overwhelming sense of, whoa, that is huge. God is huge. He is awesome. He is overwhelming. Not a sense of God is, you know, he's my sugar daddy who if I need something, I call on him. But the sense of he is huge. He is so utterly beyond me that I need to respect what he says. I need to understand him. I need to fall on my face before him. Remember last week I talked about how I had this conversation with someone and they said, I just want to believe in a God who is better than the God of the Old Testament. Because he looked at the God of the Old Testament, he saw judgment, he saw war, he saw all of these things, and he said, I need somebody better. I need someone who is just plain love. Whereas, in fact, God goes beyond just our cultural understanding of him. You know, our culture, we say, you just need to love and forgive and be kind to everybody. Be nice. And other cultures would say, you just need to take revenge on those who have wronged you, those who have committed atrocities against us. And God is above and beyond both of those. He's perfectly loving. He's perfectly just. He exceeds what we can understand even. And that is a sense of fear. This sense of, whoa, he is wholly other. He is completely different from what I can understand. So we use that as a filter for every bit of wisdom that we hear. Don't put a fork in a microwave. That's a good bit of wisdom. It doesn't contradict anything that God has said in his word. I'm going to take that. I'm going to hold on to that. Okay? We don't have to fear other bits of wisdom. Okay, a stitch in time saves nine, right? That's worldly wisdom, okay? That's wisdom that somebody in the world just came up with and said, a stitch in time saves nine. Ben Franklin, right? Okay? So if you sow something early enough, you won't have to sow it so much later. Hey, that makes sense. I'm actually going to hang on to that. That doesn't contradict anything that God said in His Word. I'm going to hang on to that. So we can go through life and we can benefit from things other people have said, wise things other people have said. We can benefit from it. We don't have to just live in fear of stuff. I'm totally amazed by, you know, modern medical science. I think it's awesome. I think the fact that, you know, we have practically eliminated polio from the world, that's a good thing. I'm just saying. All right. That is an awesome thing. I've seen people in Africa who have had polio. I'm glad that polio, by and large, does not exist in America anymore. I think that's a good thing. So we don't have to fear this wisdom, but we look at it and we say, all right, does this contradict something that God has said in His Word? If not, if it works, hey, let's use it. I'm not microwaving any forks or tinfoil or anything. Okay? So that's unwise. But the ultimate wisdom is Jesus Christ, who died on a cross and lives in our hearts now. Amen? All right. Let's be a church that walks with our eyes open. One big area, okay, I'm just going to mention this because it bothers me to no end, is when we kind of relay lies that we've heard without back-checking the facts on them. Oh, my goodness. Ed Stetzer wrote an article on it not too long ago just talking about how, you know, it was an embarrassing week for Christians. The week after same-sex marriage got legalized, there were all sorts of stories that came out. And most of them were fake. Just like, you know, so-and-so, a pastor gets thrown in jail for refusing to do a same-sex marriage. It's all fake. But it was just, people just start these stories online and boom, we jump on it without asking any questions. So, we need to be careful as well, not just to jump on things because it aligns with our worldview, but we need to do some fact-checking. You know, hey, they discovered such and such artifact wherever, there's pictures online. Well, you go and you look and it's actually a Photoshopped picture that never really happened, but, you know, don't buy into everything. Because, I mean, people can make more money these days selling false news articles than they can selling real ones. It's really sad, but every time you click on their website or whatever, they get $2 or whatever it is. And so it's just, we're just making money for people who are for putting out lies. So always fact check. Yeah, scammers. Or you can take a false IQ online, a false IQ test online, and you're paying some other scammer. So, you know, we need to do some fact checking. I mean, the Bible says, Jesus said, you know, be harmless as doves, but be wise as serpents. So keep your eyes open. There are scammers out there who are just trying to deceive people. Walk with your eyes open. Walk in wisdom. Amen? Just because we're believers, we're not dumb. All right, let's pray. Dear God, we thank You for this morning. We thank You that we can gather together. Thank You for teaching us from Your Word. Thank You for the wisdom, the infinite wisdom that is contained therein, God. Thank You for godly examples around us who are wise beyond their years, who are wise beyond their education. God, help us to esteem and learn from people like that, God. God, help us just to sit back and just soak in the wisdom that they have to offer, Lord. And help us, Lord, not to just jump on everything that we hear, God, but help us to filter it through You, God, because You are the beginning of wisdom. May we always have our ears perked up, Lord, and not believe lies like God only helps those who help themselves. Help us to believe Your truth first and foremost, God. In Your name, amen.